Will you pray with me this morning? Come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. So today's lesson does begin at the beginning, at creation, in the garden, with God, who is the great artist, the molder of all that is, the painter and the great musician in creation. And this morning we heard the reading from a different translation than we often use. And while some of the phrasing might have seemed unusual or different than what we often hear, what is happening is the same. God is creating, crafting a wondrous place filled with creatures and plants and waters and sky, paradise. God's intent for this paradise is that it be a place that is designed and intended for all of the plants and animals, and yes, probably even for the aliens and Martians and zombies that might come, I don't know. The creation story is one of those that we hear over and over again. For those of us who have been in the church for a while, it's one that we've heard since we could remember. And what happens is, and I was talking to somebody about this morning, that is that we get the story in our heads in such a way that when we start hearing it read, we complete it in our own minds. We don't hear it, and that's why I chose to have it read in a little bit of a different manner today. Because it's a story that is so rich, it is so full of preaching possibilities that it's almost impossible to choose one. And so this morning I'd like for us to consider three aspects of the creation story. First, the pattern of time being created. Second, what it means for something to be good. And third, what it means to be a steward of what God has made. So if we hear the story read aloud like we did this morning, we're aware that it has refrains and repeats, almost like a song does. God said, and it was good. And scholars think that this reading from Genesis was probably actually part of the liturgy of the earliest worshipers. The priests probably read this in worship as a part of their creation liturgy. And one of the phrases that is repeated over and over has to do with time. There was morning and there was evening, another day. Now, to be sure, these days were probably not as we understand days. They were likely not 24-hour periods of time. But they were rhythms of existing that didn't exist until they were created by God. Evening and morning, another day. A few years ago, Bruce and I went to Alaska for the wedding of some good friends. How many of you have been to Alaska in the summer? In the summer. So you know what happens? The sun stays up forever. And what I found was that we were still going at, you know, our daytime pace, and we would look at our clocks and see that it was like midnight. And then the sun would rise at like 4:15. We would find ourselves moving in a way that was not our accustomed pace. And yet it was daytime and nighttime, another day. No matter where we live, no matter what time of year it is, our lives have rhythms to them. And the understanding of time as something that is created by God with the intention for the good of all of what is created reminds us of the sacredness and the holiness of each moment. Now, this is not an understanding that is unique to religious tradition. Very often when I open my fortune cookie, I read something about how precious time is. But when we add to that understanding this idea that time is a gift that was created, that was crafted by God just as all of creation was, then time becomes a sacred space where we dwell. A second refrain in this reading from Genesis is that of things being called good. Now, I want to suggest that these things weren't good just in and of themselves, but that they were good in the way they related to one another. The light is good as it relates to the darkness and vice versa. The waters are good as they relate to the dry land. The plants and trees are good in relationship to one another. The sun that illumines the day and the moon that illumines the night are good in the relationship that they share. The fish and the sea creatures and the birds are good in relationship to one another. So here's another way of looking at it. For those of you who enjoy cooking or baking, it is one thing to bake, say, a pie or grill a steak, but doesn't the goodness come from the relationship of what you have made to the ones who are enjoying it as they eat it? If I bake a blueberry pie and it's gorgeous and the crust is just right, and then I just sit it on the counter and admire it, where is the goodness in that? But if I bake a blueberry pie and I invite friends over and we enjoy it together, then it is good indeed. Now, here's perhaps the most important thing and the key thing to this whole passage from Genesis. It's in this transition from the understanding of the goodness of things being relational to how we steward what God has given us. Because if you read your lesson closely, after God creates humanity, after God creates us male and female, God does not call them good. God blesses them. God blesses them. And then God says to them, "Bear fruit, increase your numbers, and fill the earth, and be responsible for it. Watch over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and all the living things on the earth. Look, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree whose fruit carries its seed inside itself. They will be your food. And to all the animals of the earth and the birds of the air and things that crawl on the ground, everything that has a living soul in it, I give all the green plants for food." And then God says, "This is good. This is very good." Goodness is present in our faithful relationship with one another, with God, and with all that God has created. Even the psalmist knew this. In our psalm today, the psalmist asks, "What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them?" And the answer that is given is God's vision of all of us caring for all that God has made, for flocks and cattle and wild beasts and birds and fish and creatures in the sea. This is the intention for our existence, that we are to be in relationship with God, in relationship with one another, and relationship with what God has entrusted to us. Earlier this week, one day I was leaving the church. It was early in the evening, and I was turning onto Greenwood from 132nd, and out front in our garden, in our corner of paradise, there were neighbors all busily working in their garden plots, because it is that time of year. Some of them were dressed in the full covering of another religious tradition, and some of them were wearing cut-off overalls. Some of them were young, and some of them were old. There were men and women, out here near the picnic table, there were developmentally delayed young adults working with their caregivers. Their languages were not the same, but their smiles were. And it hit me. This is the kingdom. This is what God calls good. This being together in spite of our differences, because we are all created in God's image. All of us. We don't get to say that some of us are and some of us aren't. All of us are created in God's image. And God has given to us at Luther Memorial, this land on this corner of Greenwood and 132nd, and told us to steward what we have been given. And so how do we use that to further the kingdom? How do we use what we have in ways that create good relationships with God and with one another and with creation? I believe that is the question we must keep in front of us. I believe it is what we might have asked when we cleared and crafted a garden out of a corner of chaos. And I believe that it is the question before us in these days, when people are living in their cars, when they are sleeping on our steps, and when they are hungry at our doors. How do we use what we have been given to further the kingdom, that God might call it good? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is hymn number 881.